Well, people usually tell me they can't hear me, so I'm trying to use this mic tonight. I don't know if that's going to help any. But I'm sure Jay will form something back there. The ladies up at PCC, specifically the female counselors, Julia and Sherry Young and Melissa Smith. I practice that, Sue, because I keep wanting to call her Sherry Young. They a lot of times plan ahead for an activity that they want to do with the young ladies, the senior high age young ladies at the camp. This year, they came prepared with a little strap of leather, and they had burned into it, in Greek letters, the word empty. And Julia gave me one because she loves me, or she just didn't want to hear me complain that I didn't have one. But at any rate, she gave me one, which I managed to break tonight as I was putting it on. So the strap that holds it. But I wanted to just bring it because it inspired me as to what to talk about tonight. I knew that I had this tonight. I had thought about it and actually done notes and done a lesson up before I left for camp. But during camp and after seeing this and talking to the young ladies, it made me think about the necessity to be empty in our lives. And specifically what they were talking about is emptying ourselves of all the different things we have, all the different things that we put on ourselves or that we gather as we grow in this world. And the idea that only when we empty ourselves can we be open to God and can we allow Him to fill us up. You think about a cup. Think about a cup of anything. In stress management, we talk about a stress cup. We talk about how every one of us has a cup. And as you go through your day, your life, whatever you want to say, and you experience stress, a little bit more put in that cup. And it slowly fills up towards the top. Now, that's fine if you have a healthy way of getting rid of some of that, emptying it out. You exercise or meditate, pray, whatever it is that you do to be able to release stress. You can keep the level down in that cup, keep the liquid from filling up too high, then it doesn't reach the point where something bad is going to happen. But if you just keep getting stress in there and stress in there and stress in there and you don't have a healthy way to release it, it's going to overflow. And who knows, depending on your personality, what you'll end up doing. In teaching, specifically the training of police officers and stuff like that, we talk about the saturation level of learning, where you can only drill so much into somebody for an extended period of time. You can only practice something so many times, you can only give them so much information before they just plain need a break, because they're overflowing, they're filling up, and they're just not, your teaching is going to be worthless after that, because they're not going to remember anything you're trying to show them. We do the same thing, if you think along those lines. If we fill ourselves up on a day-to-day basis with all the different things that are going on around us and all the different things that we bring, our baggage, as some people would say, if we continue to fill ourselves up with that and we do not empty ourselves so that there's room for God, we're not going to be successful. You think of yourself as a cup. You're born empty. But you immediately start to absorb all kinds of things from your environment, all kinds of experiences, and you start filling that cup. And throughout life, we continue to fill it with all the different things that are going on around us. At some point, hopefully you're taught about God. And as you try to follow Him and try to bring Him into your life, you're going to have that full cup. You're going to have all those things that the world has put on you, your parents, your teachers, your friends, all the different influences they've put on you that you've used to fill that cup. And quite often, you don't have room what God wants you to have. You don't have room for God in your life. Well, let's just talk about a couple things that might be filling us up. And this starts, again, from birth. You know, it could be personal biases. It could be negative experiences with other Christians. It could be worldly goals. It could be human relationships. It could be resistance to authority. It could be sorrow, man's knowledge, fears, pride, guilt. A whole variety of things that could be filling our cup up as we grow and as we go throughout our daily lives. Just want to touch base on a couple of them here. Pride. Pride is the way of the world. Pride is often seen as a sense of entitlement. We see that around us on a day-to-day basis. There's a sense of entitlement that somehow we're owed everything that we have. And that no matter what we do, no matter whether we earned it or not, just because I deserve it. And it's drilled home by the behavior. If you watch what's going on around us, that does not allow us to submit to God's authority in our lives. We cannot appreciate God's grace. We cannot appreciate how His salvation works if we are going through life thinking that we deserve it. It will send the wrong message to those around us. You know, how we feel is expressed in what we do and what we say. And all those people that come into contact with us or live around us on a day-to-day basis, they're going to have that sense of entitlement. They're going to have that sense that we have so much pride that we're not allowing ourselves to be humble and appreciate what God has done. Maybe we feel that others need to bend for us rather than us doing anything for them. You know, freedoms in this country, I spent the whole week up there. The particular class I taught to the kids was centered around a lot of things, but a big portion of it was on freedoms that we are blessed by in this country. And those same freedoms can sometimes cloud our judgment. I deal with people every single day at work. I'll deal with some tonight when I go to work that feel that their freedoms are all that matters. Their freedoms are just given to them. And it doesn't matter what your freedoms are. It doesn't matter if their freedoms extend over to you. They don't care. They just want, they'll tell you, I have the right to do this. I have the right to hurt that person. I have the right to say this. I have the right to do this. Because it's what I want. It's my freedom. Well, that will also keep us from putting God's plan ahead of our own, if we have pride in that manner. It will keep us from sacrificing for others, which is a big part of God's plan. You know, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 says, "And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." It's not for man's way. It's for the work of the ministry. It's for the edifying of the body of Christ. Either type of pride that I talked about there, or any other type of pride, will keep us from from emptying ourselves and enjoying God's will and allowing Him in to our lives. Maybe guilt is what is filling our cup. You know, guilt is kind of the opposite of the last one I said, the pride, but it can weigh on us. I see people that are totally weighed down in their lives by a sense of guilt. And it can be a guilt of some relationship that they had. It can be a guilt of sins that they feel in their lives, sins that they know they have performed in the past, sins that they're afraid that they're going to perform in the future. That guilt weighs on them. Well, when you have that kind of guilt on you, it's distracting. It distracts your mind from a lot of other more positive options, and especially from God's plan. It can keep us from really believing in the fullness of God's grace. And strangely enough, it continues to plant seeds for more guilt. Because if you're feeling overwhelming guilt about one thing that you did, it's really easy to feel overwhelming guilt then about everything else that you do. And it just keeps piling up and piling up, the snowball effect. You know, Ephesians 2:1 says, "In you He made alive, who are dead in trespasses and sin." Well, if you truly believe that, and the many other verses like that, if you truly believe it, then you can't let that guilt weigh on you. Because it will affect the example that you can be to others, and it will affect how you show joy in knowing the grace that we have. It can serve as a doubt in our minds to God's promise. I mean, realistically, if you're suffering with guilt, then you're doubting God's promise. You're doubting what He's saying. Because he says that our sins will be gone. He says that we will have salvation. So don't allow that guilt to weigh on you. It keeps us from moving on away from those sins sometimes. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Guilt can keep us from filling with an appreciation of God's grace. Let's talk about when I mentioned earlier some things that can fill our cup. Another one was relationships. Of course, you know, we have a lot of different relationships. Family, friends, co-workers, people that we just have slight interaction with on the street, total strangers. They can weigh us down if we allow it. They can, especially if they're negative, but if that person is a negative influence or if we're struggling with that relationship, it can weigh us down and it can interfere with how we're allowing God into our lives and how much we're allowing Him to fill our cup. Sometimes it can keep us too close to sins to be able to resist. You know, if you're just, as an example, you're struggling with alcohol, but you're still spending time with all those buddies that you used to drink with, all those buddies that do that in their spare time, that's going to be harder to resist it. It's going to be harder. If you're filling yourself with that, it's going to be harder for there to be room for God. It can keep us from attending. We get involved in a bunch of different activities, and you know, it's something that's distracting us from services here and spending time with the family here. It is not allowing God to fill us. It will discourage rather than encourage our walk. So the fact is, some relationships can keep us from making room for God in that cup of our lives. Or how about knowledge? Specifically man's knowledge. It's something we focus on. You can attain all kinds of degrees, all types of worldly knowledge. But if you're not careful, you can be filling yourself with that rather than God's knowledge. There's a whole lot of people out there with many degrees, many different initials after their name, that are convinced that there is no God. They have plenty of man's knowledge. They're brilliant. But that knowledge didn't empty them at all to allow God's knowledge in. Sometimes it forces us, or we allow it, I should say, man's knowledge to make us try to understand God through man's eyes, which is also very dangerous. It interferes with following His plan because we try to handle matters using man's logic rather than God's logic. Colossians 1:9 says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will," capital H, His will, "and spiritual understanding." There is a difference between His will and spiritual understanding and man's. It can make us question examples from the Bible and teachings from the Bible. I mean, hopefully many of you don't struggle with this, but you might. You know, when I was a teenager, I always struggled with the story about Jesus killing the fig tree. Just because I was a teenager, I thought of that. But whenever I heard that story, I thought, well, what kind of thing is that to do? The fig tree was producing. And He killed it. But, you know, that was an example. I was putting man's logic, my human logic, onto God's plan, God's teaching. You can't do that. It does not allow Him to fill us. Man's knowledge will always keep us from filling with God's knowledge. Or how about sorrow? Sorrow weighs on us. It's somewhat related to guilt, but it can be created by other experiences. It can distract us. I know people that are totally distracted by sorrow in their lives. I know a woman whose father died over 30 years ago, but she still sobs when she thinks about it. It still distracts her on a regular basis. A regular basis. From how she interacts with others around her and how she just plans her life. It will keep us from opening up to encourage others if we're just weighed down by sorrow. It will not display an understanding of God's plan, because if you understand God's plan, that is not something to be sorry about. That is something to be joyful about, look forward to. So if we're walking around as sorrowful people, what example is that? It distracts us from the blessings that He is providing for us every day if we're wrapped up in things that we're sorry for, losses that we know we've had. And we will not be the proper example to those around us. There's even the dynamic of how sorrow can affect how we teach about God. It is a fact. If you are, and we all struggle with the idea, I say struggle, but bear with me. We all struggle with the idea that there are going to be people that are going to hell. That's not something to be happy about. It's not something to look forward to. I don't know about you, I would imagine it's the same, but I'm sorrowful. There's a lot of people that I know that I'm sorrowful to know that they're not doing what God wants them to do. There is no indication from the Scriptures whatsoever, that they are going to experience salvation at this point in their lives. But if that sorrow deadens us to God's plan, or makes us so concerned about teaching it that we leave that part out when we're talking to people, or that we allow it to affect what we encourage people to do in following God's plan, well then, that is not allowing God to fill us up. And that is not allowing us to help others be filled by God and His plan. Sorrow will not allow us to fill with God's joy in our lives. Moving on. I talked about a couple different things there, that there's many others. We could talk about that for hours and hours, and you would not want to sit and listen to me for hours. But there's many things that we can allow to fill our cup. These are just a few examples. But the fact is, all of these and more, they fill our lives. Sometimes we can avoid it, sometimes we can reduce them, but they're there. They distract us from God's way of doing things. They consume our time. They can consume our thoughts. They can affect our Christian relationships. They can detract from the example that we are supposed to be for God. It can interfere with our ability to teach about God and His plan. You know, I've been present at times whenever we've had to evacuate buildings. And it is something when you're running through a building, pounding on doors and yelling for people, and if it's unlocked, you're opening and yelling inside, trying to get people out. And it could be for a variety of reasons. We've had to empty buildings because of dangerous situations with armed people. We've had to empty buildings because of fires, things like that. And, you know, you're throwing a whole lot of information at somebody very quickly. They didn't know what was going on, didn't have any idea. And sometimes you're even waking them up in the middle of the night. But it is somewhat humorous when you look back on it, seeing what they want to save. You'll have people running through the house. Now, some people will just run right outside. You'll even have to say, whoa, you might want to grab some clothes. Or, you know, do you have any animals you want to grab? Things like that. But there are many people that they'll want to spend all kinds of time in there, just gathering up all the things that are important to them, trying to hold on to things. Whenever we have cars towed, and it could be towed for a variety of reasons. Maybe we're having to tow it because of criminal activity. Maybe it's being towed because it was damaged in an accident. whatever the case may be. We're towing cars. We quite often have a talk with the owner or the driver about any valuables that they have in there, or anything they want out. And it is funny, sometimes the different items that will have a lot of meaning to a person that they don't want to let go of. It's not always what you would think. There's women that will leave their purse in there, but grab a book that they're working on, that they're reading, or they'll want to grab a picture that's in there. Teenagers will want to grab a particular CD, but there's something they want to hold on to. In both those instances, they're not ready to let go. I'm not saying that there aren't valuable things in our lives. I'm not saying that there aren't things that we cherish. We wouldn't want to see lost in a fire or lost in a flood or anything like that. But those are just examples how people don't want to let go. Well, how often in our lives as that cup's filling up, there's things that we don't want to let go of? As crazy as it sounds, maybe people don't want to let go of the guilt. Maybe people don't want to let go of the sorrow or the knowledge to let God in, to let Him fill them. Tim Williams and I have a little pet peeve up at camp that we do not like the kids having flashlights on hikes. We like keeping them out past dark and hiking them back. We take them on safe trails and things like that, contrary to their belief. They think it's chaos and danger and they're afraid and everything, but it's all very controlled. But we like to get them out there out of that comfort. Get them away from the security of that flashlight. Because it's a whole different world being in the woods in the dark. It's experiences that they would never have, that blinding light in front of them. We discovered just a few years ago, there's the neatest thing up there. I'm sure it's all over the place, but it's specifically, I know all the locations up at Blue Knob now. There is a fungus that glows in the dark. It's not very bright. You would never see it in this room. If I had it in my hand in this room, it would just look like a couple small mushrooms. But when it's growing on these logs and down trees and things like that in the woods, it just glows. And when your eyes are all adjusted and there's no ambient light around blinding you, you can see it glowing. You can see it from feet away. That's how we initially discovered it. Young Tim and I were hiking one time, and we had actually, and this was actually not on purpose, we had everybody out without flashlights, including ourselves, and we were coming back on this trail, and he and I are talking, and I looked into the woods, and something as far away as from me to Adam, I could see something glowing. So I went stumbling down through, and I mean stumbling, down through the woods after this light, because I was really intrigued by it. And I get down there and get closer to the ground and pick it up, and here it's this tiny one single piece. It wasn't even a whole bunch of it. One single piece of this fungus. We would have never seen it if we had any light at all. So in our lives, if we are filling with all this other stuff, and we are not allowing God to fill our cup, to fill us up, we're missing out on so much because we're distracted by everything else, distracted by the world. You know, if you watched an Olympic race or world championships or any kind of race, it would be pretty ridiculous if you saw a sprinter or any kind of runner standing at the line with weights on their ankles or weights on their wrists. They might train with them on a regular basis, but the day of the race, would it make any sense at all for them to have that on? Of course not. They don't want to be weighted down with that whenever they're in the race. We're in a race. And we cannot allow ourselves to be weighted down with all those other things that want to fill us up. It will totally disrupt our effectiveness in living for God. And that they'll make it impossible for us to be the examples that He wants us to be. You know, emptying ourselves does not come easy at first. It took a lifetime to build up. I have a saying when I go into the homes to deal with things at work, domestics or parent and child issues, whatever the case may be, I have a saying that I a lot of times say to the officers when we're leaving, especially the younger ones, so you can't change 30 years of bad training in 15 minutes. Well, that's the way we are. There's all different ages here, and we all have different amounts of experiences, different amounts of influence from the world, filling our cup. You're not going to change that in 15 minutes. You're not going to change that by listening to me babble at you for 15 minutes here. It takes work. But here's the neat thing. When you get into the habit of emptying your cup, allowing God in, when you get into the training of it, you know, spending hours at it, spending time focused and disciplining yourself, trusting in God's methods, trusting in His Word, using them in your life, you will get better at it. And it becomes easier. Back to that stress cup. Once you have a good method of emptying the stress out of that cup, and it's a regular method that you can use and you know it works, well, it's successful. And it's easy then. When I feel myself getting stressed, I need to run. Sharon sometimes tells me to go run. Because she doesn't want my stress cup filled up. So that is just an example of how I have developed a method I can get rid of that stress if given the chance. Well, you know, when we develop methods to empty ourselves of the world's stuff, the world's garbage, and fill ourselves with God, it becomes easier and easier. As we practice it in our lives, we will see the difference. It will become a habit. When we are full of God, there is no room for any of the other garbage either. That's a neat thing. Not only are we filling up and getting the positive experience from God and the positive experience that we can give to others, but if we're filling ourselves with God, there's no room in there for the ways of the world. There's no room in there for all the different things that the world and the people around us want to put on us, try to put in us. We can then be filled with strength, God's knowledge, love, peace, and the power of salvation. We will be the example and the shining light that He tells us He wants us to be in Matthew 5 and many other verses. If you are having a difficult time emptying your cup, you might need help. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what we're here for. If you're having trouble filling yourself with God, that could be a variety of things. Maybe you need some help with studying. Maybe you need more encouragement. Maybe you need more time with your Christian family. Don't know. We're all different. But if you're struggling either way, this is the time to come forward and ask for help. Thank you.